Good morning. Good morning, everyone. All the titles are going to be in Hebrew, but well, because it's, we'll manage. Okay, so my name is Tzipora. So like Mira said, I live in the Mount of Olives. And I want to talk about what we're going to do today is basically we're going to divide the shiur to three. This is a picture not far from my house. This is what I see. I live in the Mount of Olives. We came to this house 18 years ago. And I see from my house, I could see the holiest place in the world. I could see Har HaBayit. Meanwhile, I see the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock. But this is a very, very special view. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about Har HaBayit, because this is what we see. What I see from my house. Then we will talk about Har HaZeitim, the mountain I live on. And at the end, we're going to finish with what's the population, what Jews live today, the Jewish settlement in East Jerusalem. Okay, so this is basically three parts to the lecture. And yeah, like Zmira said, I belong to this group of women that we give lectures. And we learn and we do a lot of different activity. All is connected to Beit HaMikdash. I'm even wearing over here a necklace. I'm trying to show it to you. Necklace with a Beit HaMikdash. One of my friends, she makes jewelry, necklaces, rings, bracelets with Beit HaMikdash. So it's very, very special. Okay, so we're gonna be together for this hour. So first of all, what you see over here, you can see a picture from the Mount of Olives from Har HaZeitim where I live. It's a very special and unique place. And we'll have to understand why did we choose to live here and not in Rehavia or Katamon or any other normal neighborhood. And we chose to live in this special place. Because we live mamash in the entrance of the Jewish cemetery of Har HaZeitim. So this is what I see from my house. I can see in the center the Dome of the Rock. I can see the Kotel, but the eastern wall. I don't see the western wall. I see the east part, the eastern wall, and the southern wall of Har HaBayit. So let's get to first the play. See what a picture. What do we see? Okay, this is a map. And we're talking, okay, all the titles are very Hebrew, but you probably can manage. In the center, we can see the map of the old city of Yerushalayim. And on your right, you can see the place where Har HaBayit is. You can see like a kind of a, on the right corner, it's basically the eastern corner of the old city is Har HaBayit. And you can see a red point over here. It says Ma'ale HaZeitim. Okay, so if we look, first of all, it's very important to know directions. We're talking that the top is north, down is south, on your right is east, and your left is west. So we're talking about all about the eastern settlement of East Jerusalem. Over here, you can see the red point is Ma'ale HaZeitim. That's, I just live overlooking Ma'ale HaZeitim. This is the biggest Jewish neighborhood in East Jerusalem. We have about close to 140 families in Ma'ale HaZeitim. So something very, very, very happy. This neighborhood started about, it's 18 years ago. And now you have kindergartens in Ma'ale HaZeitim. They're finishing building the new shul. Up till now, we had a temporary shul in the parking lot, but now we're gonna have a new shul. And there's a new mikveh over there. I don't live in Ma'ale HaZeitim, but I just live across the street. You can see it says over in Hebrew, Beit HaKeferot Har HaZeitim, that's a Jewish cemetery. So I just live in the entrance. But my view is Har HaBayit. So what I see from my house, this is Har HaBayit. Okay, we're talking about, this is Rosh Chodesh Av, and we're starting these 9 days. And one of the main reason why we're fasting is because today on the holiest place, on Evan Ashtiyah, the foundation stone, you can see today the dome of the rock. We don't see the Beit HaMikdash. We don't hear the Levi'im. We don't see any Avodah. This is what I see. And like I mentioned before, besides, you can see the southern wall that's in the bottom part of the picture on your left, and the eastern wall of the Har HaBayit. And in the center is the Dome of the Rock. So let's just get to know a few main buildings in Har HaBayit. Okay? So here you can see, because this is like the holiest place, this is what we're going to say in Megillat Eicha next week. Al Shu'alim Hilchu Bo. Okay, so in the center, we could see Kippat HaSel in Hebrew, the Dome of the Rock. All around, we could see the white ramp, a white, like a platform. This is the area where Beit HaMikdash stood during Beit Rishon and Beit Sheni, all around the Dome of the Rock. Underneath the rock, what I said before, is the foundation stone, Evan HaShtiyah. That's the center of the mountain. That's the holiest place in the world. The place where Shemaim Ve'aretz, okay, the meeting point, okay, that's the holiest place. All the blessing to all the world comes from this spot. And it's interesting that the Rambam says that, I'm saying in Hebrew, Afal pi sheshomamin b'kedushatan omgdim. Even though that today the place is shomem, is deserted, we don't have any bigdash, any Jews, any nothing, but still has a kedusha. Okay, even though in the churban, it still has a kedusha today. That's what the Rambam says. Now we're going down in the picture to the southern part of Har HaBayit. Okay, it's down below. We can see the El Aqsa Mosque. Okay, that's their main mosque of the Arabs. They daven, they pray towards south, towards Mecca, Medina. That's their holiest place, Na Yerushalayim. So this is the El Aqsa Mosque. We could see two like yellow tunnels. These are underground tunnels that are today on Har HaBayit. These are the original gates that led to Har HaBayit, the Chulda gates. We know that in Har HaBayit, in the southern part of Har HaBayit, we had two gates that were named after the Nevi'ah Chulda. They were called the Chulda gates in the southern part. And that was like the main entrance to Har HaBayit. So today you could see, okay, the Muslims are there, but then you have the underground tunnels, okay, the yellow tunnels you could see. And that was like the main entrance to go into Har HaBayit through the Chulda gates. It's just something very interesting about this, that it says that everyone that went into Har HaBayit in the time Beit Sheni used to go in through the right gate and used to exit through the left gate. Okay, these were two gates. One was for the entrance and one was for the exit. But the Mishnah says that besides some people, the Avelim, if someone has an Avelut, he's sitting Shivan, his father or mother, whatever, so he used to enter, in the time of the Avelut, he used to enter the left gate. And people used to come and ask him, when the Lashon of Chazal is, Malacha Mekif Mismol. Why are you doing this circle? Why are you entering from the left side of Har HaBayit? So he says, Ani Avel, I'm an Avelut. And then everybody used to comfort him, Hashochen Bebayit Hazeh, Who yenachemcha? Okay, they used to get nechama, and that was something interesting. They used to comfort all the people just according to the direction of entering Har HaBayit. Okay, I go to the corner, to the eastern southern corner of Har HaBayit. You can see it says over Ovot Shlomo. This is a very, very big mosque that the Arabs build underneath the ground. It was like, they took about 15 years ago, they used to take a lot of, it was full of like trash and ground and whatever, sand, and they took everything out and they cleaned everything and they built a mosque underground. So basically we have, and the Arabs have today, the El Aqsa Mosque. is on the top, and the Urvot Shlomo, the Shlomo stables, is underground. So it's another very big mosque. And we could see the eastern gate, eastern side, the eastern wall, you could see the Shar HaRachamim. Okay, this is what's it's closed today. That's according to the tradition, the Shekhinah is gonna go through Har HaZeitim back to Har HaBayit in the Geula. Okay, let's see. I'm changing the side. This, first of all, before I talk about living in Har HaZeitim, so I want to talk about what I see from my house. Okay, so this I'm showing you basically an overlook about Har HaBayit. What do we see? Okay, now we change sides. Before we saw the eastern wall, now we can see the western wall, the Kotel. Now this picture I like very much. Why? Because this is what we see from Beit Shini, the Beit HaMikdash, on the time of King Herod. And then first of all, in the center, we can see the Heichal, that's the main building. And this, the yellow building, is standing exactly on the same spot where today the Dome on the Rock is. So this is the same spot exactly. We can see over here, with the Kodesh of Kodeshim. In the Kodesh of the Kodeshim, we have the Evan Hashtia, like I mentioned before, where the Dome of the Rock today is sitting. Standing, and we can see over here a left and a wall, a part of the wall that's painted in pink. This is what is the Kotel that we go today. Okay, the Kotel Hamaravi, the Western Wall. And we can see that it's a very, very small from the real, the original wall from the time of Beit Sheni. Okay, the original Kotel was much higher. And it was much deeper. And I'm sure most of you or all of you went through the Kotel tunnels. In the Kotel tunnels, you go through all the Kotel. Today, the old Kotel is covered by the Muslim quarter. So all the, you can see Arab houses are built on the Western Wall. If you go there, you can see like people that their bedroom, one of their walls of the bedrooms in the Muslim quarter is the wall of our Kotel, okay, the Kotel, the Western Wall. So this is what we daven. I just want to make, recommend, when you go daven in the Kotel next time, so try davening not if you go to the, you know, Ezrat Hashem, so not if you daven straight ahead to Ezrat Hashem, you daven to Har HaBayit. We want to face to Kodesh HaKodeshim, so you could turn your head like a bit left, and it shows that we're not davening just to the Kotel, but we're davening what's behind the Kotel. Our prayer is to Beit HaMikdash, and not just to the wall. That was the Kotel was the wall that was surrounding Har HaBayit. We could see here on the southern part again what I spoke before are the Chulda gates on the right. And on the left, this was like the main entrance to Har HaBayit from the south and from the west. Now, over here, see, I have a short film. Let's see, it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. This is not a picture, it's a film. That's nuts. Wait a second. It's not working. That doesn't work. Okay, it was a quick film. Okay, now let's just to get to know Beit HaMikdash. This is what we see from Beit Sheni. King Herod built towards the end of Beit Sheni. He refixed and then made it such a beautiful, beautiful building. And over here we enter the Beit HaMikdash through this entrance from the east. And the first Azara we see is what's called Ezrat Nashim. Today we know it's not Ezrat Nashim for the shul, but in Beit HaMikdash, this was like the first entrance, okay, Ezrat Nashim in Beit HaMikdash. Over here you used the daven. Over here on Sukkot was Simchat Beit HaShoeva. And there were 15 steps that took us to the Nicanor gates, okay, the Nicanor gates. These were famous gates, very, very beautiful. And then we enter and we go into Ezrat Kohanim. Okay, Zrat Kohanim, that where the Mizbeach stood. And the main building is the Heichal, that we can see is very big. It's like covered with bluish, made from marble. That's the description in Bayit Sheni, it was like made from marble. Over here stood the Kelim, the Shulchan, the menorah, and the Mizbeach HaKtoret, and inside is Kodesh HaKodeshim. So this is like the overlook about Beit HaMikdash. This, again, we can see Har HaBayit and the Kotel, what I spoke about the Kotel, and now we can understand that the Kotel is a very, very small part of the whole of the Har HaBayit. The Har HaBayit is very, very big, and we just now... We're just having a very small, it is a lot of times when I go to the Kotel, it reminds me, like, I'm sure you've been in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And what's in Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron? So for 700 years, the Jews weren't allowed to enter Ma'arat HaMachpelah because the Muslim was there and the Crusaders and whatever. So they used to daven outside Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Okay, they had steps. And they used to allow to daven and only go up to the seventh step near Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And after 1967, after the Six-Day War, we managed to free also Har HaBayit, also Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and we had the zchut into going into Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So why am I mentioning? Because the Kotel, this is the fact that we don't have the Beit Mikdash yet. And we're just in the outer wall of Har HaBayit, and all our prayers, all everything is to enter and to rebuild this, you know, where it's today, the Dome of the Rock. Look, the Dome of the Rock is there from the year 691, many, many years. This is what I see from my bedroom, from the kids' bedroom, from the kitchen. And we really hope in these days that this is going to change. This is going to... And it's not going to stay there forever. Okay, things are going to change. There's Russian from our davenings. Okay, this is another picture from the other side. Again, every time we change, one time from east, one time from west. Whoever stands, why did I bring this picture? Because whoever stands in the Mount of Olives, okay, like where I live, so you can see again the eastern wall of Har HaBayit, and you can see the Beit HaMikdash. So Beit HaMikdash, everyone who used to daven there, used to face to the Heichal, used to face west. This is the way that I daven in Har HaZeitim. When people come today and daven in the Kotel, you can see it, you know, the Kotel is, okay, I hope you're located, because every time we change you west and east. So whoever davens in the western wall, so we face to the east part, and in the Beit HaMikdash, it was exactly the direction of the davening, exactly the opposite. So here we can see again the Beit HaMikdash of the Herods for a time. And now we're leaving Har HaBayit, and we're going to the second mountain, is the Mount of Olives, Har HaZeitim. This is where I live. And like I said, we came to this house 18 years ago, but I want to see what's special about Har HaZeitim. So I brought over here a pasuk from the book of Yechezkel. It says like this: Vayal kevod Hashem me'al toch ha'ir v'ya'amod ashal Ahar asher mikedem la'il. Okay, so let's understand. This pasuk is talking about when the Shekhinah is leaving Beit HaMikdash. Kvod Hashem is the Shekhinah. It's leaving Yerushalayim, mitoch ha'ir, from the city of Yerushalayim. V'ya'amod al ahar. Okay, so the Shekhinah is kind of standing on the mountain. What mountain? When the Shekhinah is leaving Beit HaMikdash, one mountain is coming to Ahar Asher Mikedem La'il. What's Kedem? Kedem Kedem is like we know from the bracha of Avraham Avinu, Faratzta Yama Vakedma Tafona Vanegva. So from that's from the bracha of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yama is west. Kedma is east. Tzafon of a Negba, Tzafon is north, Negba is south. So when it says in the pasuk over here, Har Asher Mikedem La'ir, that's the mountain that is in the east part of Yerushalayim. What mountain is in the eastern part of Yerushalayim? That's Har Zeitim. This is where I live. So this is interesting that we're talking about the Galut HaShechina. Shechina is after the Churban, after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, is leaving Yerushalayim, and the second stop is the Har Asher Mikedem La'ir, the eastern mountain Har Zeitim. So let's see now. I brought a few sources to see what's important about Har Zeitim. Okay, so first of all, we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. It says like this: Uminayin hayu mesi'in masu'ot mehar avishcha lasar tava. Okay, so this Mishnah is talking about today's Rosh Chodesh. And if we today's Rosh Chodesh, so if it would be the time of Beit HaMikdash, we wouldn't look at our calendar to see when is Rosh Chodesh. We would wait to see the announcement of the Sanhedrin. Okay, the Sanhedrin, they used to sit in Lishkat HaGazit. They used to come and get the edut from people, and they used to tell them, when did they see the moon? What's called the Molad, when did they see it? And according to the people, they used to announce if Rosh Chodesh is today or tomorrow, or that was that Hachrazat HaChodesh, okay, from the Sanhedrin. And because of the Churban of Beit HaMikdash, so now today we use a calendar, but this is not Milachatchila. It's like we say in the Psukim, Bekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim, Am Yisrael does the Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, how do they do this announcement? How do they tell the people when is Rosh Chodesh? If it's today or the day before? So according to the torches, Masu'ah is a torch from fire. And this is from Har HaBayit. That was the first spot. The second spot was Har HaMishcha. Har HaMishcha is, that's the name that Chazal gives for Har HaZeitim. Okay, so that's a Har HaMishcha, we have it. Either you could call it, the Har HaZeitim has a couple of names, okay? You could call it either Har HaZeitim, or in Chazal is Har HaMishcha, or like we saw in the Psukim, Har Asher Mikedem La'ir, in the eastern part. So you used to take this Masu'ah is this torch, and from Har HaBayit, you used to light it, pass it on. Like people used to stand in these different mountains from Har HaZeitim, Har HaMishcha, down to another mountain that is called the Saltaba. The Saltaba is a very tall mountain in the area of the near Yericho of today. Like after, from you go from Yericho, so there's like a mountain. So first of all, this is the first place these two, in Har HaZeitim, used to announce Rosh Chodesh, okay? Used to pass the torches, the Masu'ot. What else? What else they used to do on Har HaZeitim? So this is a very beautiful picture. You see the whole big cemetery, the Jewish cemetery. But let's read first the Mishnah. It says on the Mishnah in Masechet Parah, the kevesh hayu osin mehar habayit lehar hamishcha kifin al gabei kifin kipa keneged haotem mipnei kever hatehom shebo kohen soref et hapara ufara vechol mesa'adeha yotzin lehar hamishcha. Okay, so what's this? Let's translate. Kevesh is a kind of a ramp. We either had a ramp, or kind of a bridge, or kind of a kevesh, a kavish, or kind of a road that connect between Har HaBayit to Har HaMishcha, to the Mount of Olives. And why? Because on the Mount of Olives, they used to burn the Parah Adumah. Okay, so this bridge, or this ramp, or this road, underneath that, we had kind of a kifin, is a kind of an arch. Okay, we have a kind of the arches underneath. This is connected to the halachot of Tuman Tahara. We're going now to all the people, the Kohen, here it says Shabbat Kohen, the Kohen that used to go and burn the paraduma, Ufara, the Chol Besadeh, all the people that used to go to do this big, big ceremony, they used to come to Har Mishcha, so used to walk on this bridge, on this ramp, on this whatever, and used to go to the middle of Har HaMishcha, Har Zetin, and where used to take place the ceremony of burning the Paraduma. This is a very, very important mitzvah, because we know that in the Mishnah, in the Sechet Parah 7, during the history, we had 9 Parot Adumot. And we're waiting today for the last one, number 10, because the minute that we're going to found the Paraduma, we're going to burn it on Har Zitim, and with the water that we're going to take it from the spring of water from the Shiloh, that's the spring down below in Ir David, then we're going to peel all the people, like it says, V'zarakti alachem mayim tehorim v'tiharti otchem. Okay, we're going to be all of us pure, and we could be able to go into Beit HaMikdash and build Beit HaMikdash and eat the korbanot. So this is a very, very important mitzvah that's connected to the Geula. And all of this thing took place on Har HaZitim. Today, there is a church in the middle of Har HaZitim. That's a coin, you call it Dominus Flevit. That's the name of the church. And over there, according to the tradition, that was a name, that was a place that used to burn the Paraduma. So we hopefully in the tefillah we're gonna have the opportunity to find to the number 10th Paraduma. Okay, what else? We spoke about, I showed you the beginning, the pasuk that showed the galut of the Shekhinah that came from the Kedem, from the Eel, from Yerushalayim till the Kedem Eel, till the mountain. But here we have the Midrash. And the Midrash in Eicha Rabba, okay, the Megillat Eicha that we're going to read next week, it says like this. First of all, this is a very beautiful picture. Okay, there was one of my neighbors took it in one of the years we had snow, so you could see all the Matzivot are covered with snow. And way back, you can see Har HaBayit. So it says in the Midrash like this, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Shanim Umechetza Hayta Shechina Yoshevet Al Har HaZeitim. Okay, after the Galut, after it left the Beit HaMikdash, it came and it said the Shechina left and sat there for 3.5 years. Zvura Shema Yasu Yisrael Tshuva Velo Asu. The Shechina waited for the Am Yisrael Shezut Shetshuva. After we're talking about after the destruction, after the Churban of Beit Rishon, Velo Asu, Am Yisrael did not have Chazara Vetshuva. V'ayta bat kol machrezet ve'omeret shuvu banim shuvavim. Okay, this pasuk is from Yirmiyahu. Shuvu, please, do tshuva. Shuvu elai v'ashuva alachem. If you do tshuva, I'm going to come and back to you. This is connected to all the things are connected to Beit HaMikdash. If we do the actions, if we pray, if we learn, if we show the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we want Beit HaMikdash, then the ashuva alechem, alechem. Then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come back and bring his Shekhinah. Now, kivan shelo asu teshuva, amra Shekhinah elech ashuva el mekumi. I'm going to go back to my place. And meanwhile, this is from the Eicha Rabba, and we're waiting for the Shekhinah to come back from to Har HaBayit again, through Har HaZeitim. And yeah, we're very, very soon. Soon we're going to see that. I'll show you another Nevuah. But it's something very interesting. The Har HaZeitim became a very important place. very important place from the time of the Geonim. We're talking about 800 years ago, 900 years ago, 1,000 years ago, that people, we didn't have any Beit HaMikdash. There was a time that the Muslims ruled here, the Crusaders, and before the Byzantines. So what did Am Yisrael do? What did they do on Tisha B'Av when they wanted to see Har Habayit? They wanted to see Beit HaMikdash, not only Tisha B'Av, but we have here a dut from the book of Sefer Chassidim. It says that in the time of the Geonim, they used to go on to Har HaZeitim. And let me read you. Ha Rav Hai haya ole bechol shana li Yerushalayim. Okay, Rav Hai, he was one of the Geonim. He used to go from Bavel up, he made a, like, came to Yerushalayim, bechol shana mi Bavel, vaya sham bechag Sukkot. He used to come to Har HaZeitim on Sukkot. Ki hayu makifim et Har HaZeitim behoshana rav ha-shev ha-pa'amim. Ve'omrim mizmorim. So used to surround Har HaZeitim. Now, why did they do it in Hoshana Rabba? Like, because they didn't have the opportunity to come. We didn't have the Beit HaMikdash. We're talking about 1,000 years ago. There wasn't any Beit HaMikdash, okay? The time of the Geonim. So this is something to remember, okay? Like we know at the time Beit HaMikdash used to surround the Mizbeach on Hoshana Rabba 7 times. So instead of that, he used to do it on Hoshana Rabba in Har HaZeitim. Ulifnei Rav Hai hayu holchim kohanim melubashim. Srikin. Srikin is a kind of garments or kind of like clothes of Kohanim. Umilim. Verachok me'ele shelavanav kufa ma. So they used to bring Kohanim. They used to bring people. Harav Hai, the Geonim came. And they used to do a whole big ceremony on Har HaZeitim and to daven to rebuild Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so this used to be, and this was a custom that took place on Har HaZeitim a couple of hundreds of years in that time, the Geonim. Now, the Nevuah, the talks that we're waiting, the talks about Har HaZeitim and the Geula is from the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah, Yud Daled, it says Har HaZeitim, that's the only time the Har HaZeitim is mentioned. Ve'amdu raglav bayom ha'hu al Har HaZeitim. Okay, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand. Okay, this is we're not talking about something physical, but spiritual. On Har HaZeitim, Asher al Pnei Yerushalayim Mikedem. Mikedem, we said before, is east. Okay, the mountain is the east part of Yerushalayim. Now, what's going to happen to Har HaZeitim? It's going to split into two. It's going to be kind of an earthquake. Venifka Har HaZeitim Michetzio. Mizracha v'yama gei gdola me'od. Okay, so Har HaZeitim is going to split into two. From Mizrach v'yam, from east to west. And what's going to happen? Gei gdola me'od. It's going to be a very big valley between. Okay, so and what's going to happen to the mountain? Mash chatzia har tzafona v'chetzio nedba. So half of the mountain is going to go north, and half of the mountain is going to go Negba. Negba is south. So the mountain, Har HaZeitim, is going to split into two. And there's one of the valleys going to come. I didn't show you the whole Nevuah, but then the talks about is going to spring of water. It's going to come out of the Har HaBayit, going to go through this valley, down, 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 east to the Dead Sea. And what's going to happen to the Dead Sea is going to be a sea of life with trees, with fish. Why? Because all the water is coming from the water of Beit HaMikdash. Now, this is this Nevuah, we read every year on Sukkot, the Nevuah of Har HaZeitim, every year on Sukkot. And we have, but this is we. We hope it's going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know how, but we see over here that before the Shekhinah is going to go back before the Geulah. Shechina is going to go back to Beit HaMikdash. It's going to go through Har HaZeitim. Okay, so that's why Har HaZeitim is a very, very important place. And that's why for many years it became the biggest Jewish cemetery. And a lot of people wanted to be buried in Har HaZeitim. And this is according to the Masoret, the place of Tchiyat HaMitim. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now in the Bereshit Rabbah, it says like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oselen Mechilot Ba'aretz. Who are we talking about? We're talking to all the people that were buried in Chutz La'aretz, okay, in America, in France, in England, in Russia. So what's going to happen in Tchiyat HaMitim? Oh, they're going to be like, it's kind of a description, okay? It's they're going to be a mechila. Mechila is a tunnels, underground tunnels to Eretz Israel. V'hem mitgelgelim uva'im, okay? All the people are going to come in these underground tunnels to Eretz Israel. Ad shemegim l'Eretz Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten b'hem ruach chayim v'hem omdim. So the Tchiyat HaMitim that we pray for the Tzim, the Geula, it's going to be only in Eretz Israel. There's no Tchiyat HaMitim in Chutz La'aretz. That's why a lot of people chose, even though the people lived in Chutz La'aretz, but chose to be buried in Eretz Israel. Okay, there's a schut of living live in Eretz Israel, but also to be buried in Eretz Israel. Okay, we learned from Avraham Avinu that we would ask to be buried in Eretz Israel. We learned from Yaakov Avinu, and we see according to this Midrash, and the first place of Tchiyat HaMitim is going to be Har HaZeitim. Now, I want to show you a few very important people that were buried over here in Har HaZeitim. The people that did actions, a different kind of rabbis that were buried over here in Har HaZeitim. They'd live just around my house, yeah, not far. Okay, so first, I took pictures of a few of the Metzivot. We could see the Rav Kook, that's a very famous Metziva, the Rav Kook in Har HaZeitim. It's interesting to read what's written on his matziva. It says over here, the Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, ben Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay, his father was named Shlomo Zalman. Now, all of the people that I talked over here, all of you made Aliyah. Also, the Rav Kook made Aliyah. I just want to mention, also, I have a schut to be born in Eretz Israel. My family made Aliyah, my parents, and this August, next month, we're going to celebrate 50 years for my family that came from the United States. My parents made Aliyah. They came with my two older brothers. They were like babies. So, like I said, I was already born here. So it's going to be 50 years, Baruch Hashem. So also the Rav Kook, and it's a bit hard to read the Matzeva, but on the Matzeva, the Rav Kook is Har HaZeitim, it says that it's Allah le'eretz kodesh kafchet iyal tafrei samech dalet. So he made Aliyah on kafchet iyal, okay, this is the day of Yom Yerushalayim. The year is tafrei samech dalet, it's 1904, the Rav Kook that came to Eretz Israel. Then it says Allah Yerushalayim. He made Aliyah to Yerushalayim on Gimel Elul, Taf Resh Ayin Tet. That's 1919. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. And Allah Hashamayma, when did he pass? Is Gimel Elul, Taf Resh Tzadikei. That's 1935. So this is the Rav Kook that he spoke about the Geula, spoke about Yerushalayim, spoke about Beit HaMikdash. He's buried on Har HaZeitim. Another rabbi that is not known, but his name is Rabbi Yehuda Elkalai. Okay, all these people we have a schut, it's like a tenement walk to all these Matzivot. Rabbi Yehuda al-Kalai was someone that lived 150 years ago, 170 years ago, in the area of Yugoslavia. He was one of the rabbis. It's called the Mevasrei HaTzionit. He spoke about, before the Tzionut started, before people started the thinking and coming and making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he wrote books and like wrote Sfarim about coming to, how we're going to have the Geula is by talking in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is by coming to Eretz Yisrael, is by leaving the Galut. In his days, that sound very weird, his ideas. The majority of the people used to live in Chutz La'aretz, but so he basically started talking about these ideas when it was very, very not common. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda al-Kalai, he's from the area of Yugoslavia, Serbia. He's buried in the Sparty area. We have another rabbi, also Sparty. He's from Morocco. He called it Tzuf Dvash. He wrote a book. His name is Shal HaChatzel. It's a book that talks about Eretz Yisrael, the love to Eretz Yisrael, a lot of midrashim about Eretz Yisrael. The Tzuf Dvash. Dvash is David Ben Shimon. He was the chief rabbi of the Kehillah, the Moroccan, from Morocco, not only Morocco, from the North Africa. He like established about more than 100 years ago, the Kehillah. So he's also buried over here. Another rabbi is Rabbi Gershon Mikitov. He's the brother-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov. And he's one of the ones that came and made Aliyah more than 200 years ago. His rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, told him, come to Eretz Yisrael and make, you know, that's what's called the Aliyat HaChassidim. So one of the heads of the Aliyat HaChassidim is Rabbi Gershon Mikitov. His yard site is in Adal, so a lot of Hasidim come to his yard site, Rabbi Gershon Mikitov. We have the first of the Aliyah, the Prushim, the Vilna Gaon students. Okay, over here we can see the Vilna Gaon. So one of his great, great Talmidim is Baron Harzitim, is Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mishiklov. Okay, he's also, you can see over here on his Metziva, it says over here Talmid Hagra Mivina. Okay, so we know that we had two big aliyot, the aliyah of the Hasidim and the aliyah of the Purushim. So both of them came to Eretz Yisrael. And all these people are buried in Har Zitim, and people that left the Galut and just didn't talk about it, but did an action and leave either the Ashkenaz or leaving a difficult place in the Galut and came to Eretz Yisrael. A very, very famous Matzeiva is Rabbi Chaim Ben Atal, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Just like 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago was his yard site in the middle of Tammuz. So this is his Matzeiva. And I brought over here to show his very special tefillah that he wrote. And it's written near his, on his Matzeiva. A tefillah that is about the Geula Hashleima. So it's in Hebrew, but I'm just going to read it. And whoever, it's a very, very beautiful. These days that we're talking about the Geula, we're talking about rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. This is a very, very beautiful tefillah of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That he lived about 250 years ago. He came from Morocco. Here is some Felecha Avi Malkeinu. Yedidot, O Nafshenu, Uchenu, V'nishmatenu. We're going to skip a little bit. Hashev, in the middle, after the sixth row, Hashev, Shechinatcha, Lebet, Kodshenu. Lehachzor, Lishtasheh, Banu, Kiyemei, Kedem. Ki kasha, Predatcha, Mimenu. Ki fredat, Nafshenu, Miruchenu. So he's talking about the difficult, how the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael have a difficult time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have his bayit, doesn't have his home, the Shekhinah doesn't have a place. Hamu me'enu bekaltan afsheinu geulat shekhinatcha mitchanenim uvochim. We're crying, we're praying. Lifanecha Hashem, av rachaman al galut hashchina. So this is what, these are the days, the 9 days that we're in sorrow in the galut hashchina. Hoshi Hashem shchinatcha. V'dabek nafsheinu ruchenu v'nishmateinu v'yaol malkeinu v'yechala. Amen ken yiratzon. So someone wants to, you could just open the internet and find, write the tefillah, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You could say it any time, and this is a very good time, the 9 days to say the tefillah of the Or HaChaim. And like I said, so this Or HaChaim, he left Morocco. We have the Rashash, Rabbi Shalom Sharabi left Yemen. Yeah, Yemen. We have, like I mentioned, the different kind of rabbis, the Rav Kook. All these people left the Galut and came to Eretz Yisrael, like all the people that we're talking to you, like all the people that now are in the Zoom, or all the people that you had the big zchut of making Aliyah, leaving the Galut and coming. All of each one of you that came to Eretz Yisrael is a big, big stage of getting close to the full Geulah Shlema. So you have a very, very big zchut. Now, this is a day, this is one of the yahrzeit, you can see a lot of people going down to the cemetery, to his grave of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now, I want to talk about today, what's going on today in this very special place. Har HaZitim is not only the place of the cemetery and a place of people chose to be buried for hundreds of years, but today, the place where people choose to live, and it became a mountain of life. And over here we could see from a very beautiful picture from the top, we could see this neighborhood that I spoke about, Ma'ale HaZitim. Okay, so on the bottom part of it, of the picture, is the top of Ma'ale HaZitim. Today, as you can see, like I said before, about 140 families live in this neighborhood. It's the mountain that was for many, many years only a cemetery, became to be a place of life. And we have 6 buildings over here in Ma'ale HaZitim. Overlooking these buildings, you have Ma'alot David. Ma'alot David is also a new neighborhood. So we have Ma'alot David on one side, Ma'ale HaZitim. And we are on the other side. I brought these beautiful psukim. Kumi ori kiva orech uchvod Hashem alayich zarach. And it says, Si saviv einayich ura'i, kulam nikbetsu vaulach. Okay, the pasuk that he talks about, the kibbutz, galayot, banayich merachok yavo. And let's see, get a closer a picture of this place I live. This is, I showed you a picture from Ras El Amud. This is just out of my house. Like a kind of a shopping center of the Arabs. I don't read Arabic, even though the many, many years I live here, but I never learned Arabic. Maybe I should. But this is like a grocery shop and whatever their center. That's the entrance of the Ras El Amud, Ras El Amud, the Arab neighborhood. And over here we can see Ma'ale HaZitim, just behind, just in the entrance of Ras El Amud. And you can see a very beautiful neighborhood, okay, that was started by Irvin Moskowitz. So he was very into helping Jews living in East Jerusalem. So he bought this land, okay, he bought and he helped build these 6 neighborhoods. So we can see today is a very, very nice neighborhood. And like I said, today the new shul is being built in these days. We have a kindergarten, and over here we can see one of the days of every year they celebrate on Yom Yerushalayim. They celebrate like the happy on Yom Yerushalayim celebration of Ma'ale HaZitim. So it's the happiness. You know, we're happy with Yerushalayim, and not all the time is easy because, like I said, we live behind. I live behind a mosque. We live in the entrance of Ras El Amud. In the beginning, the Arabs weren't so happy of us coming and Jews living in East Jerusalem. Why don't you stay only in the west part? Stay in Beit Vagan and Kiryat Moshe and Katamon and Rechavia and Tabia. and whatever. Why are you coming to live in our Arab neighborhoods? But Baruch Hashem, this is a very, very wonderful thing that happened more than 20 years ago. First of all, when Jews went back to the Muslim quarter to live over there, went back to Ir David. And over here, Jews living in Ma'ale Zeitim, Jews over here, we could see Ma'alot David. This is another Jewish neighborhood, like I said before. This is a building that was about 20 years ago that belongs to the police of what's called Mishteret Shai of Yehuda Vishomon, and they moved to a new building near Ma'ale Adumim, and now the Ir David fixed this building and for our families. And here we have about 15 families, Jewish families, living in this neighborhood. It's called Ma'alot David. You can see, I'll show you the other side of it. This is the other side of the building of Ma'alot David. You can see it's just mamash and entrance in the other, overlooking in the cemetery. And so we have on the one side the Jewish cemetery, but the other side we have people living here. We have children playing. We have three kindergartens. We have a playground. We have a ma'on. We have a whole. And this is the very famous pasuk of Zechariah. It says, "Kol Amel Shem Tzivakot, Od Yeshvu Skenim Uskenot Berchovot Yerushalayim Ve'ish Mishanto." Biado merov yamim urechovot ha'ir yemalu. All the streets of Yerushalayim are going to be full of old people, but of children, yeladim ve'yeladot mesachakim berechovotea. So every day when you go to the playground of Ma'ale Zeitim, you can see a lot of kids playing. Now the corona, not so much. It just happened a week ago that one of the women of the gananot of the kindergarten had corona, so all the three ganim went into homes, and that was like a big thing. But an ordinary day, so you can see a lot of children, and this is you see the fulfillment of the pasuk of Zechariah just in front of our eyes. Yeladim v'yeladot b'sachakim in Yerushalayim. I'm going to skip this. This is a song. A song about one of the 9 days. A very beautiful song of Avraham Fried. I'm going to just, I don't know if you know this, call it the Yerushalayim Shebalev. If after the 9 days, if you want to sing. But over here, we have a picture. We don't see anymore the Dome of the Rock. We don't see anymore El Aqsa, the El Aqsa Mosque. But we see the Beit HaMikdash on the same holiest spot from Har HaZeitim. This is what I'm going to see very, very soon from my kitchen, from the bedroom. We're going to see Yerushalayim. We're going to see Beit HaMikdash rebuilding. We're going to see the Shekhinah going back to Yerushalayim, to Beit HaMikdash very, very soon. And I want to finish with my house. Like I said, I showed you Ma'ale HaZeitim, but I don't live in Ma'ale HaZeitim. I live overlooking. And this is where I live, and it's an old Arab house, about 200 years old. It's surrounded with graves, but you see, I showed you what a lot of tzaddikim. I just showed you a few, but we have about 100,000 people that are buried in Har HaZeitim, a lot of tzaddikim. So this is the house, this is kind of the entrance. This is my chatzer, okay, of where I live. And we don't have, and this is my living room. Now, in every house we know we have a halakha that we need to leave a place unpainted to remember the chulban. Okay, to remember the chulban. I was just, and we, I don't have it in my house. Why? Why don't that? Because why don't we have this unpainted part? Because this is what I see every single day from my house. This is with a kitchen. This is my living room from my kitchen, just in the right corner. I can see Har HaBayit. And so this is something that we live every day. When I when every Shabbat we take the kids. I see already my time is finishing, so in 1 minute. Every Shabbos we go with the kids to the Kotel, to daven in the Kotel. We go back and forth, and then we go back home to Har Hazitim. We go through the Muslim quarter. We go out through the Lion's Gate. It's in the eastern part. And we feel it's important to walk in all these places. We walk also in the Muslim quarter. We feel it's important as Jews to walk there. And today, and like I said, we live in Ras El Amud. So sometimes there were some more not easy times, okay? We had the Arabs used to be here and used to demonstrate and whatever. And there were times they used to throw stones, but Baruch Hashem, we have guard out of the house, okay, 24 hours guards. Every Jewish family that lives in East Jerusalem gets from the government guard, in the Shemirah. But for the first Shomer is Shomer Israel, okay, that's what you should remember, Shomer Israel. Then we also have guards. So, and I feel it's a very, very big zchut that my grandmother, grandfather, they came to from Europe, I mean from Russia, they came to America and they lived there in the United States all their life, and they came and made Aliyah. My parents made Aliyah 50 years ago, and I live here in Har Hazitim overlooking to the holiest place. So this is a very, very big zchut, and I want to invite you, if you have, we'll have maybe another opportunity. Because I give tours, like Zmira said, I give tours in Har Hazitim. So you're more than welcome to see it, to come to a very, very special, a very, very special tour to see Har Habayit, to see all this Jewish settlement. And hopefully in this Tisha B'Av, we won't have to fast. And we have the Geulah Shlema, B'Binyan Bet HaMikdash, Yehi Ritzon, Shibaneh Bet HaMikdash, B'Mehera B'Yameinu. So over here, I see we have to like really finish. So I want to thank you very much. And yeah, I'm inviting you. So I could, everybody wants to get my details to contact me. So Zmira has my phone number. And you could maybe, Zmira, open now the mute that we should hear just the women. We should hear them.
First of all, thank you so much. It was amazing. Very inspiring. There are some people who've been writing new questions in the chat box if you want to look at that for a second. I'm going to see. I'm a little afraid to unmute everyone because...
Yeah, if you have any questions, you can ask. Someone wants to ask a question, but I see, but we have to start the next year.
No, it's okay. We have a couple of minutes. You can answer questions.
If someone wants to ask a question, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, let's have you write it in the chat box if you have a question.
I don't hear anything.
Are you looking in the chat? There's somebody here. Let's see. Somebody asked, when did Har Hazitim become a famous burial place? During the time of the Beit HaMikdash, did Kohanim used to live there? And now, what do Kohanim do?
Well, we have the what we see today, the graves, is about 300 years ago. But we have ancient... graves from Beit Rishon and Beit Sheni. If you walk today to the Arab Arab village, it's called Silwan. So over here, underneath the Arab houses, you have burial graves from Beit Rishon. Why did they start burying in Har Hazitim? Because this was considered out of Yerushalayim. Okay, because you don't bury inside the city. And what's called today the Kidron Valley, that's the valley that separates between Har Habayit and Har Hazitim. So all the used to start buried. So today underneath in Silwan, you could see burial caves from Beit Rishon. But basically the cemetery, what we see today, is about 300 years old. Yeah. Another question someone wants to ask? On chat. Okay.
I wanted to ask you if Kohanim can come visit in Har Hazikim.
Okay, so to my house, Kohanim could enter because to get to my house, I don't pass any Kvarim. It's all around the house. But I just want to say something I didn't mention. When we came over here 18 years ago, the Brit Milah, the Brit from my oldest son, he's 18, he was in the house. So when we came to my house, some of the in the living room, some of the tiles were with matzevot. Like, what did the Arabs do? The Arabs that were here for the Jordanian for between 48 and 67, they used to take the matzevot and use it as a place for things to build, as tiles. So they made some roads out of it, and they also put it in the living room. So we, of course, came and we took it out. So this is what's called the Ge'ula, the Ge'ulat Batim, that we fixed up again the place, all the mitzvot. People had to fix it up. And but this is something that we really saw in our eyes. It was unpleasant. But Kohanim, we don't live in any, we don't go through my house. We don't go in through any mitzvot. We just from my parking lot directly to my house.
Okay, another
but
question.
Again, it's we live in front of Har Bayit. That's the big schut, okay?
Somebody wanted to know how old your children are.
Okay, so my oldest son, I Baruch Hashem have 10 children, and my oldest son is 18. He was just like last month, and my youngest one is 5 years old. And we try all the smachot to do in this area. We had the like I mentioned, Brit Milah, we had a bat mitzvah, my daughter, on the top of Har Hazikim. There's a hotel over there, the Seven Arches Hotel. So all the smachot, my son is gonna be another half a year at bar mitzvah. We try bringing people to this area. So Baruch Hashem, my oldest is 18, yeah.
somebody also wanted to know, how can they contact you to arrange a tour? Do you wanna? I can put it in the chat box if there's an email or a phone number you wanted to give out.
So first of all, maybe just I could send you my number, okay? And maybe Zmira, you have the WhatsApp of everybody? Like it's a group?
I don't. The easiest way is if I just put it here on the chat box and they can all see it right now if you're comfortable.
So, should just give you my phone number now?
Yeah, sure. Okay, what's your number?
Okay. Okay, so my phone number, okay, so you're writing it down?
Yeah.
Okay, 052 5866384. Okay, my name is Tzipora Piltz. Yeah, Tzipora Piltz, and P-I-L-T-Z. And you're welcome. Like, if you want to come over here, if you have family to bring to a tour, even you could do it even in these days because it's an open area, 20 people, it's allowed to be outside in these corona days. So that could be, but whatever, okay? We're unopened. So I want to thank you very much. And we hope that we'll have a Geula Shlema this Rosh Chodesh. Next year, next week, the Tzomach Hamishi should be the fifth fast should be a day of happiness, of Geula, and not a day of fasting and Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you, man. Yishol koach, Zmira, for organizing this day. Kol hakavod.
Thank you so much. And I forgot to mention, last month we actually had your sister Rina Ariel spoke last month at the Rosh Chodesh seminar. So a lot of people here probably know her, so they can kind of put the two faces together. And I mentioned last time that she had written the book about for bat mitzvah girls. So the two of you wrote it together. And it was the basis of our bat mitzvah program that we ran this year until the corona. So I highly recommend it to anybody who has any daughters or granddaughters of bat mitzvah age. You can get in touch with Torah about her book. Okay.
Yeah,
thank
we have it
much.
In Hebrew and in English. Also an English version. So either or. Okay, it's a very recommended book for mother and daughters and grandmothers and daughters for bat mitzvah year. if you want. It's like a lot of learning. You can learn to, you have a lot of material for learning together and activities and or for special for Bat Mitzvah girls. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's called Pure K Hallel. We just didn't mention it.
Exactly. Pure K Hallel. That's
what I'll write that here. You guys want it? Pure K Hallel. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.